helping them to unlock their own, you know, creativity and possibility within their journey. And that's really through this mindset that I call creating separation. You know, obviously it's a play on, it's kind of a play on words, playing wide receiver. But ultimately, to create separation is to create differentiation. You know, we all live in within competition, no matter what industry we're in. And the ability to take your unique, you know, life experiences, your unique abilities, skills, and talents, and be able to bring them to bear in whatever industry you're in is a way that you can differentiate yourself and create separation. And that's ultimately, you know, what I'm doing right now and really the direction that I'm heading in.
On the Ball Podcast.
What's going on, ballers? And welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones. And you all know that the premise of this show is ultimately to focus on stories, strategies, and successes to help student athletes succeed beyond their degree. And if you have not connected with us, I would encourage you to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Beyond the Ball Podcast with Jonathan Jones. In addition, if you have not subscribed to the YouTube channel, be sure to click right here, right? And be sure to join our YouTube channel, because we release not only the podcast episodes, but we also release exclusive content as well. Now, without further ado, I want to go ahead and get to today's guest. And I'm excited because we have a very special guest in the studio virtually, of course. And today's guest, with me being a longtime New Orleans Saints fan, growing up watching Saints games, cheering on the Saints, watching with my dad and my brother. And I'm truly honored today to have on none other than Mr. Marcus Colston. And Marcus Colston, if you don't know or you're not familiar with Marcus Colston, first of all, you've been living under a rock, okay? Because he played for the New Orleans Saints. He is a Super Bowl champion, you know, in regards to receptions, in regards to receiving yards, and even in regards to touchdowns. He's among the elite in New Orleans Saints history. And now he's an entrepreneur. In addition to that, he's an executive coach, and he's doing things that are cutting edge all across the board. Without further ado, let me introduce to the Beyond the Ball Podcast, Mr. Marcus Colston. Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So go ahead and just take a moment. And I know I didn't hit on everything that you do, because just like we were talking offline earlier, you know, I've been connected with you on LinkedIn for a while and just been seeing the stuff that you're doing in addition to what I mentioned. So just Marcus, just take a second and give people a deeper snapshot, a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at this point, I've been retired from the NFL for about, I guess this will be my sixth year out. And, you know, really taking a lot of my experiences as an athlete, you know, as an entrepreneur, as an angel investor, and kind of distilling it all into a way to help other individuals, whether they be management professionals, they be entrepreneurs, they be athletes in transition. You know, really working with individuals and kind of helping them to unlock their own, you know, creativity and possibility within their journey. And that's really through this mindset that I call creating separation. You know, obviously it's kind of a play on words, playing wide receiver. But ultimately, to create separation is to create differentiation. You know, we all live in within competition, no matter what industry we're in. And the ability to take your unique, you know, life experiences, your unique abilities, skills, and talents, and be able to bring them to bear in whatever industry you're in is the way that you can differentiate yourself and create separation. And that's ultimately, you know, what I'm doing right now and really the direction that I'm heading in.
Excellent, excellent. Create separation. I mean, when you said that, I mean, my first thought was just seeing you like running around or something, and then, you know, you like hitting a little curl. Oh, wow. Okay, so what exactly is an angel investor?
An angel investor is somebody that invests in really early stage private companies. So, you know, there'll be startups. A lot of them are technology types of startups that I was investing in. But ultimately, it's really the riskiest asset class that you can invest in. But those are the stories that you hear of the early investors in Facebook, the early investors in Airbnb. A lot of those people that get in really early at the ground level are angel investors.
Okay. And how did you get introduced into into this space, especially from, you know, you going and playing in the league, which I've heard oftentimes means not for long. But you know, you going from playing in the league and then getting out. So can you first walk us back a little bit and just talk about how that transition was from going to being in the league, competing at a high level, and then, you know, taking the time to where you decided that now it's time for you to do something else, and then just going into that piece about how that came about with angel investing.
Yeah, I mean, it was I was just really fortunate to have some advisors while I was still playing, actually, that were on my financial advisory team that were former players themselves. And I played 10 years. I started to think about business and life after in about my third or fourth year. And, you know, those two advisors really pushing me to kind of always kind of stretch the limits in a lot of ways. And that's when I initially got introduced into entrepreneurship and angel investing. And for me, it was an opportunity to kind of get a chance to look behind the curtain, you know, with some of these companies that the world was kind of on fire, you know, talking about, and getting access to some of these companies and the entrepreneurs, and really starting to learn what went into building a successful company. And what I quickly found out was that I could take a lot of my mindset, a lot of my approach to actually preparing, you know, to play at the highest level. And it kind of ran in parallel with, you know, the conversations that I was having with entrepreneurs. For me, it was kind of a light bulb moment to where I saw that, you know, what I was doing as an athlete and preparing, you know, always evolving my game, it was directly applicable to, you know, entrepreneurship and building companies. And I was kind of hooked at that point.
Wow. Huh. Okay. So when did the connection, or I guess plugging the pieces together, start to happen for you? Because I mean, I don't want to say that I think it's uncommon, because I'm not sure because I didn't play in the league, so I can't say what's common just in that regard. But just in the aspect of, you know, when you were competing, like were these people who you were introduced to, or these were just relationships that you had, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it initially started as, you know, people I was introduced to. And like I said, once I had a couple conversations, and, you know, we started to talk about, you know, from their standpoint, what it took to build a business, what they were kind of, what their process looked like, and really what their goals were and how they were looking to accomplish those goals. And as I'm listening and as I'm engaging in the conversation, I'm realizing that this is a lot of the same mentality that I have as I'm preparing for my sport. Right. So when I was able to connect those dots, it kind of empowered me to go out and start to have other conversations and start to meet people and network a little bit, because this invisible barrier that we as athletes kind of sometimes put up, there seems to be like this disconnect when it comes to knowledge and that knowledge transfer. And when I was able to connect the dots with my own journey, you know, towards, you know, really pursuing greatness as an athlete, and really connected to an entrepreneur's journey in terms of them trying to build a really successful company, that barrier kind of went away, and it really empowered me to go have conversations, knowing that I might not have 100% of the lingo and the technical knowledge, mm-hmm. but the process I fully understand, and it's what I use day in and day out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So as we're talking about processes, what does your daily routine look like? Because, you know, just with you being, you know, who you are, and you operating how you operate, and just like you said, working with working with executives, what does your daily routine look like? Your success routine, if you will.
You know, for me, my routine, it kind of fluctuates a bit because I'm still kind of homeschooling a little bit. So I've got two little ones. My daughter is 6, my son is 9. So they're still only doing half days of school. So my work schedule is a little truncated. But you know, ultimately I start my day. I get up every morning. I start my day with a workout. I do about somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes. Just kind of get my wheels turning, get the juices going. I try to carve out 10 or 15 minutes after I work out to get some mindfulness training and kind of set my intention for the day. And you know, from there it's either, you know, creating content, creating curriculum, or it's you know, taking meetings and trying to figure out, you know, how to partner with other folks, how to you know, create those business development and those sales pipelines. You know, so that's ultimately, I spend my days either creating content, creating curriculum, or trying to sell it through to other individuals to either partner with or to work with them.
Creating curriculum. So where are you creating curriculum for? Where is this for, Marcus?
So there's a couple of different avenues. So one of the things that I actually picked up last fall, I actually picked up a role as an adjunct professor down at the University of New Orleans, teaching in their honors college, their school of entrepreneurship. So I teach a course around entrepreneurial leadership there. And I'm actually in my second semester now this spring. So, you know, developing out 16 weeks of curriculum was not something I ever really saw myself doing, but I'm enjoying it as I'm doing it now. And you know, the other avenues, I'm actually currently working on an education platform for college athletes transitioning into their next stage, and you know, just trying to keep current and keep learning, just continue to, you know, my clients on the coaching side.
Okay. So I have two other questions. You just sparked two other questions for me. So the first question I have for you is, because I'm glad that you have your own business and you're also teaching entrepreneurship. The question I have for you is, where does the line have to be drawn in terms of an entrepreneurship professor or a professor who teaches a course on entrepreneurship, but this professor has never had their own business? Please talk to me, because I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Ooh, that's interesting. I'd say this: the line is probably, I think that there's a lot that you can teach from the philosophical standpoint. I think there's a lot of theory that you can teach, if you haven't run your own business. But I think the line starts to get really blurry, you know, when you're talking about things and you're talking about tactical things that you haven't really done. So I think, you know, talking about theory and talking about strategy is one thing, but actually, you know, trying to give people tactical advice on what they should be doing when you haven't done it yourself, it gets a little dicey.
Okay. Okay. We can move on. So what is it that really brought you to the point to where you said, I want to put something in place working with student athletes. I want to put something in place to help them transition. What was the light bulb moment, or what was it that really inspired, you know, this new next level that you're tapping into?
It's been an area that I've been really passionate about for some time now. And you know, for me, it really stems back to my experience with the two advisors that I mentioned in my life that were just, they were really instrumental in me getting started. And you know, I've spent, you know, the last 4 years in education. You know, I back in 2017, 2018, I developed a program for professional athletes around venture investing and entrepreneurship at University of Columbia. And at that point, that was really my entry point into education. And, you know, what I got out of that course was it really kind of validated the passion. And it was a point where I kind of started to double down, because I realized that as athletes, no matter what level we're at, our ability, our mindset, our processes on how we continue to get better, how we continue to chase, goals that stretch us. As I got further and further ingrained in the business world, I started to realize how much I was pulling on those same processes that I developed as an athlete. And when I looked around, there weren't a lot of people that were teaching that side of the transferable skills that people talk about. We hear about leadership, we hear about teamwork, and those are all really, really important skills. But as an athlete, you develop these tactical skills on how to maintain a level of self-awareness to where you know how you show up in any given situation, but you also know your strengths and weaknesses and how you continue to improve, right? And when you take tactical skills like that, those become applicable everywhere. And when I looked around and I didn't see a ton of those types of programs and a ton of people talking about those skills, that's when I realized that I wanted to go, from the pro level, and I wanted to continue to work my way down and kind of create this pipeline of student athletes and athletes that are given resources that are really familiar to them, so that they don't feel like in transition they have to, flush one career down the toilet and start from scratch with the next one.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, because I think student athletes just as you've alluded to, they're sitting on goal, for lack of better terms, because a lot of times they have the skills, they have the traits, they have the attributes, but sometimes it's just difficult to translate that into resume language or to translate that mm-hmm. into job experience. So I think that's a really valid point. That's a really valid point there. And now I just have to, Marcus, I just have to name image and likeness. Name image and likeness. Talk to me. What are your thoughts? What are your reservations? Just talk to me.
It's about time, man. It's about time. Like college sports has been a multi-billion dollar business for a long time, and there's athletes that they play 4 years, they play 5 years, and they've given everything to a school and a university, and they walk away with nothing, and they haven't been able to take their highest earning potential and earn anything against it. So I think it's been about time. Glad to see the conversations are turning into action. And now it kind of puts the onus on the schools to figure out how to equip these student athletes with the tools to, not just monetize their name, image, and likeness, but, do it in a way that's efficient, but that's also sustainable, so that, it becomes part of that bridge between their career student athletes and whatever their next phase in life is going to be.
Certainly. And I mean, I'm glad that that they're putting together, I don't want to call it a task force, but they're putting together committees and they're putting together groups to navigate through what that curriculum is mm-hmm. going to look like, what that programming is going to look like, what will be most beneficial. So, just like you shared, I'm looking forward to the conversation. The only concern I have, it's not really a concern, but it's just how long will it take for it to really get flushed out to like where it's, to where it's clear. And because even, the iPhone, even as high a quality the iPhone is, when it first comes out, there's some bugs. They have to work some things out over time. So, I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. And I think it is going to be a great, great opportunity for sure.
No, I share your sentiments, man. It's probably going to be rocky to start, but it's a conversation that it's not, you have to get it started, and you have to work the kinks out, and version 1.0 is not going to look like version 3 or 4.0, but it has to get started, because there's just way too many opportunities. There's way too much money being made you know, off the backs of these athletes. And, you know, for them to not really have a say in it or have any upside in it to this point, man, it's just not right. So we'll work the kinks out, but you know, let these guys start earning, man. It's way past due.
Definitely. So if you were able to, I guess, sit down at a table, right? And I didn't tell you about this. I didn't, you know, didn't communicate this before, but this is just I'm pulling this from left field. But if you were able to either have dinner with like one person or like, you know, maybe I'll give you a couple. Past or present, alive or dead, who would like your top three be? Like these people that, you know, you either just you know, you just admire them as a leader, as like a business owner, or, you know, father, mother, whatever it might be. But who would be these three people where you would just say, let's sit down and I have my notebook ready?
Man, that's a good question. I think one person on my list is Barack Obama. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons, I think, you know, what he was able to do and kind of break that barrier, you know, was it's one of those things that I would love to pick his brain around, you know, what that process looked like, and what you know, how was he able to navigate that. So that's definitely one person on my list. I'm drawing a blank.
I didn't allow you to prepare for it at all. So I mean that one is a solid answer. That's a solid one. That's a solid one. So yeah, we can just rock. We can just keep rocking. We keep rocking. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Soon as we jump off, I'm gonna come up with four more.
Yeah, I know. I know you will. Oh man, I know you will. I know you will. So now we'll just go ahead and transition into the 2 minute drill. Okay. And the 2 minute drill ultimately is just the opportunity to allow the ballers out there that are listening, you know, just to get to see a different side of you from what we've talked about today, and, you know, just to have a little bit of fun. So are you ready?
I think I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Okay. Good answer. You have to be. We're doing the 2 minute. You're doing the 2 minute drill. I mean, it just makes sense. Okay. So here we go. Favorite food.
Pizza, pepperoni.
Okay, what's the last book you read?
21 Laws of Leadership.
Okay, Maxwell. What's your go-to streaming show of preference?
Go-to streaming show. It was Ozark. So I'm waiting to see if a new season comes out.
Yeah. Solid. What's your favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast? Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. And then what's one tip? What's one tip that you want to leave for a student athlete?
I would say Your journey as an athlete, as a student athlete, what you go through, the sacrifices you make, the adversity that you fight through. I would say figure out a way to capture that and try and repurpose it. Because your next step is you'll be able to take a lot of the experiences that you develop as an athlete and as you continue to develop as an athlete. As you're transitioning, don't overthink it, because you have the skills, you have the tools, you have the mindset. Don't overthink it, and, you know, what feels right, what feels instinctual, you've gotten yourself to this point using your gut, you know, so continue to use your gut and all of the skills that you developed over the years.
That's good. That's good. And then the bonus question I always like to ask is who's the next guest that you would like to see me interview on Beyond the Ball?
That's a great question. Have you gotten to Jed Collins?
No, I have not. Mm-mm.
I'd like to see Jed on here because he has a really interesting take on financial education. And I think that's within the student athlete group, I think that's a conversation you can never start too early.
Okay. There it is. Well, look, you made it through. You safely made it through. You know, you safely made it through. I definitely want to thank you for taking the time to come on. And really quick, please just let everybody know where they can find you, how they can connect with you and find out even more about what you have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. My handle is just my name, Marcus Colston. You can also check out my website, which is marcuscolston.xyz.
I got to ask you, what made you do the XYZ? Just tell me that.
Well, it's two reasons. The on-brand reason is I'm creating separation, even with my domain. Mm. The other reason is a domain investor got me.
Oh, man. .com. Oh, why do people do that?
Yeah, man, it caught me slipping. They've had it for some time, but I saw that .xyz and I'm like, all right, this is an up and coming domain, so let's go ahead and move forward with it.
Well, there it is. So everybody out there listening, I would encourage you all to definitely connect with Marcus and screenshot this episode if you're watching it on YouTube and DM it and then let him know like what part of the interview really stood out, what really spoke to you. And then connect. I would encourage you to connect with them. Because I've been following this journey on LinkedIn and I can appreciate, you know, the content he puts out and the clips, putting out the speaking clips, you know, being a fellow speaker, I definitely can appreciate that as well. So Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. And, you know, I'm honored with you being a former Saint and, you know, me being part of Who That Nation. So thank you so much for coming on.
And I appreciate you having me, man. And look forward to staying connected.
Most definitely. So all the ballers out there, I would encourage you all to make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube to get not only the podcast, but also exclusive video content. In addition to that, I would encourage you to subscribe if you're listening on Apple and then leave a rate and review if you found this episode helpful or any of the other episodes that you have heard. And friends, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for hanging out with on this conversation with Mr. Marcus Colston. And once again, my name is Jonathan Jones. This is Beyond the Ball, where we help you succeed beyond your degree.